views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guest, or participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I have in the studio an individual who we haven't heard from in a while, who is currently the board chair of the California Voter Foundation, the former Shasta County Clerk and Register of Voters, Kathy Darlene Allen. Welcome, Kathy.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Great to be here.
Yes. So how about for people that may not know you at all, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Washington, D.C., had a lovely childhood and high school experience there. I got to do really fun things like take art history classes at the National Gallery, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And then came out to California to go to school and lived in Santa Barbara for the better part of a decade while I worked full time and went to school. Took me 7 years, but I finally matriculated and then I got married and had a baby and so my son was born in Santa Barbara and but we really needed to be near family. So the Darling family is all here in Redding.
Yes.
And so then my daughter was born here in Redding and just really enjoyed smaller and smaller towns as I grew older. And so, you know, Redding is my home now. My second husband and I have five kids combined and four of them still all live here in Shasta County. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah. So we're here.
So how many years have you been in Redding?
Over 30. 30. Maybe even longer than that. I'd have to do the math.
Yeah. But at least 30.
Yes. Yes.
What was your degree in?
In English,
English
literature, yes.
Aha.
Very much appropriate for running elections.
Yes, yes.
Like everyone else who runs elections. it's one of those professions that people don't plan for.
Yeah.
We don't have a cool outfit like firemen.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So how did you get connected with the Shasta County Clerk's Office?
I started, when I moved here to Redding, I started in the county at the Welfare Department.
Ah.
And worked my way up there. And then a friend and mentor who I had worked with at Welfare called me and said, hey, there's a job that I think you should apply for. It was when the assistant county clerk was retiring. So I applied and got hired by Ann Reed.
Because Ann Reed was the clerk and register of voters.
Yes, for many years, 22, I believe.
Wow.
In elected service. And then she had served for a long period of time prior to being elected in the department. And remember way back when, she was also the clerk of the court. So, the clerk of the board.
Wow.
When she started in 1982. So she had a lot on her plate.
I guess.
And her office was in the courthouse, actually, when she was elected the first time in 82.
Wow.
So things change.
Yes, yes.
The courts now are a state department, right? They don't no longer affiliated with the county exclusively. And so when I got hired as the assistant county clerk, we took delivery of a new electronic voting system 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And then that was in June. And then in October, we had a special statewide election to recall Governor Gray Davis, which is when Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected our governor. And then less than a month later, we had another election in November. And then we had a presidential primary in March, and there's a whole 6 or 7 months of time that I just don't remember about my life.
It was a blur.
It was all a blur. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
lots of learning on the ground running.
And do you know who was before Ann Reed?
Mr. Brennan, I believe his name was, and he also served for several decades.
Wow.
So, yeah, by my count, we've had 3 registrars in 60 years, and now we've had 3 registrars in the last 3 years.
Wow, what a comparison. So you became the clerk and register of voters about when? What year do you remember?
I was appointed in 2004.
2004. Mm-hmm. Why appointed?
Because Ann retired in the middle of her term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was appointed in 2004 and then ran for office for the first time in 2006.
2006. So overall, you served as a Shasta County clerk and register of voter for how many years?
Just shy of 20.
Just shy of 20. 19 plus.
Correct.
Ah.
Elected 5 times.
Yes. And I think it's important for people because you have a wealth of experience and now currently you're serving on the board as the board chair for the California Voters Foundation.
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask you to come in and talk about, you know, things that are, that you witnessed and things, because there's so much conversation about voter fraud and needing special shifts and changes like ID. And I think it's helpful to have the history and to be able to sometimes, in some cases, reassure the people. I mean, did you ever feel during your tenure, 19 plus years, that you were concerned about the legitimacy or the security of voting in Shasta County?
So, I mean, that was one of the main things we focused on, right?
Yeah.
Every day in every election, continuous improvement is something that you do in elections as a best practice. And so security is the needs for security are always changing, right? 20 years ago, we were much less worried about foreign interference, for example, which we know now has happened in U.S. elections, not necessarily here in Shasta County, but just overall. But those things that we have to do to keep the ballots safe, to keep voters' personal information safe, et cetera, are changing all the time. And that's one of the things that's really important is that you have folks in leadership positions in elections who are interested in learning from others and interested in what the best practices are and what the newest, latest, greatest thing is. There are election departments from all over the nation who really are the rock stars of our industry. And if you talk to an election official from Maine or Ohio or Florida, they're going to be able to tell you that Cook County, Illinois, which is the Chicago area, is doing a great job.
Ah.
Clark County, Nevada, which is Las Vegas area, is, again, doing a great job at conducting elections.
And what does a great job mean?
A great job means providing access equally and in a nonpartisan manner. It means securing personal information of voters, like we just talked about. It means counting votes accurately so that when you get election results, you can depend that those are the results the voters intended. Orange County, California is another shining star and has been for many years through the past two registrars there in Orange County. And one of the things, too, that's common amongst the counties I just mentioned is in the jurisdictions is that they have adequate funding.
Yes, that makes a difference. A
huge difference.
Yes.
In the access to resources that they need.
Yes. And just so we can kind of set the stage for people that may not be familiar, as an elected official, as Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, who has supervision of that individual or that office?
Primarily the voters. The Board of Supervisors is, of course, a supervisory body, as the name implies, but it's a real sticky wicket to supervise in a more traditional kind of employment situation.
Yeah.
You may think of that word supervise, meaning they are the boss, but they are not the boss, quote unquote, of the county auditor, the county sheriff, the district attorney, the tax collector, treasurer tax collector, the recorder, or the county clerk. The voters are the boss. All of those elected department heads have very serious work to do. None of those are figurehead jobs. All of those people that I worked with who are in office when I was in office came to work every day and worked with their staff to set policy, supervise the staff who worked under them, direct the staff who worked under them. There's no figurehead positions. There's no golfing 3 days a week. for any of those people. All those people are at work every single day.
Working hard.
Correct.
Yes. And when you were in that capacity, looking at all the different things, you had a relationship with the state.
Sure.
Can you explain what that relationship is? So the Board of Supervisors really sets what budget?
I was going to say, I did want to add that that's their primary responsibility, is to create and approve the budget and determine what the priorities should be within that budget, right? There's always a limited amount of money to go around in Shasta County.
Yeah.
To provide mental health services, to help fund the library, to...
All the things
that the county takes care of to take care of its citizens. Elections is one of those, but county clerk services are another, providing, an ability to get a birth certificate, a certified birth certificate from the recorder's office. All of those things have to be funded in one way or another.
And does the clerk submit a budget to them as a proposed?
Correct. The department heads submit a budget. They're given parameters. Every year you're told, okay, we want a 5% cut, or you can increase your budget by 1%, whatever the parameters are for that year, based on what the county administrative officer's guidance, what their kind of prognostication about what kind of tax revenue is going to come from the state, what kind of property tax revenue we're seeing. They can get that information from our local county assessor and recorder. But they'll put together a package of guiding principles for budgeting. The counties use those, the same guidance principles for budgeting for quite some time, probably the last 15 years or so, and ask each department to prepare a budget that is then submitted to the CAO.
Chief
Administrative Officer, thank you, who's the head executive for the county, basically. And he or she serves at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. So they have, I imagine, marching orders from the supervisors about what it is they're looking for and want to see.
But the registrar and clerk's relationship with the state, can you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah. The state provides guidelines. The state aggregates election results. So when you have, for example, an assembly person race on the ballot, they're going to take all the different county results that participate in that assembly district. We're a great example up here in the North State. Many counties are in the same district, unlike in Southern California, where the population centers are, Bay Area or Southern California, where a county will wholly encompass an assembly district. It's exactly the opposite here, where in Shasta, we are wholly contained within an assembly district, a state senate district, et cetera. So the state, the Secretary of State website is where you're going to find the aggregated election results, not just individual counties. And they also provide guidance for voting systems. That's one of their other primary duties and responsibilities at the state level. Secretary of State determines what the rules are for how we use voting equipment in California.
They set everything.
They do. And then they also are the chief election official for the state of California.
So when you were working as clerk and registrar of voters, how did you feel about your relationship with the state?
It was really good. I mean, they were a resource for us. We didn't always agree. They would sometimes make determinations or issue regulations that we didn't think would particularly work well for northern rural counties. And so we would provide feedback about those things. Regulations in particular have to go through the regular legislative process. There's a set process within the state of California, and elections is the same regulatory process as many other disciplines, not just election stuff. So they would, publish draft regulations. We would make comments. They would sometimes take our comments, sometimes not. You can't have everything you want necessarily, right?
In anything.
in anything, right? Yes. But particularly with the state. But the state is there to work in concert with the counties and complement the work that the counties are doing on the ground. They don't conduct elections. They don't train poll workers. They don't do the actual work that the counties do. So there is sometimes a little bit of a disconnect. But they do their best. And they do overall a pretty good job. There are political appointees who work in the Secretary of State's office, and then there's civil servants. So those civil service folks, many of them have years and years, decades in some cases, of experience and service to the voters of California, and they're amazing.
And so the clerk and registrar of voters really works with the state as far as what is required. Does the Board of Supervisors have any direction that they give to the clerk's office for what happens with elections?
That's kind of open for debate. In general, certainly the Board of Supervisors is the boss of the voting system selection. So they have the authority, as they did in 2023, to determine that they want to or do not want to use a particular kind of voting equipment to conduct elections and to record and tally votes. They do not get to decide how exactly that system's going to be used inside the building.
I see. Okay.
If that helps.
Yes. I'm going to do a station ID. When we come back, the question I wanted to have you address for our listeners that may or may not know you, for your 19 plus years that you worked as the Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, you came to a place where you left that position. So I'd like you to talk about that for us. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Our guest today is Kathy Darlene Allen. She is the former Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters and is currently serving as the board chair of the California Voter Foundation. So, Kathy, it came to a place after 19 and a half years, you made a change. Can you tell us about that change?
Sure. So I had a really busy fall in 2023. Well, I guess I should say let's start a little bit earlier. I was at an airport waiting to catch a flight to DC for a conference I attended in Washington fairly regularly called the Joint Legislative Election Official Conference. So where election officials from all over the country would come and meet with legislative staff from both the Congress and the Senate.
And why did they do
about,
that?
Talk about legislation that's coming in the next year. If you're in a year where there was a presidential election the year before, then talk about new administration, what that could mean for the future of federal laws and potential funding coming from the federal government for local election administration, all of those things. And so I was in the airport and I got a phone call from the interim county administrative officer. Remember, Larry Lees had retired and they had not yet recruited someone to fill that position. And so we had Pat Minturn, who was the retired public works director who was serving as the interim CAO for a while, called me and said, "Hey, Patrick Jones wants to put the Dominion voting system contract on the agenda in January." And at no time was I told that they were going to cancel that contract. No member of the Board of Supervisors called me to talk to me about it. No one on the board at the time had any expertise. There still is no one on that board with any level of expertise in elections or election tabulation vendors or technology in general. In any case, so that board meeting did happen, and they did cancel the voting system contract, and it would be very much like an auto body mechanic or an auto mechanic having someone come in and take his tool chest and say, "Sorry, you don't get to use these Snap-on tools anymore. You need to do something different." So we got essentially the main tool we used to create ballots, record voter selections, and then report the results of those was taken away from us. Which, you know, good, bad, it certainly cost the county quite a bit of money. We had just upgraded our voting system for the first time in over a decade. Remember, in 2003, we had a a new electronic voting system delivered. We upgraded it in 2018, so we had not had a change for 15 years. In 2018, the board approved a new system from the same vendor, and so we had fairly new equipment. In 18, we decided to lease that equipment instead of purchasing it. And so basically the board in 23 decided to cancel that lease and return the equipment to the vendor, which all happened.
With no conversation with you.
With no conversation with me or anyone in my office, and no conversation with anyone else who was an acknowledged expert in elections. I'm sure there would be, you would get a different perspective if you talked to any of those board members, the three who voted to cancel the contract. That was the beginning of a full-on series of attacks against the election department that I bore the brunt of. And my staff also felt very keenly because the folks who had decided that a change needed to happen decided to do that by enlisting all their friends and supporters, many of whom acted as observers over the rest of that year and
for the elections.
For the election, and had been observers in 22 as well. And some of those folks were really incredibly poorly behaved. People got up and said unbelievable lies about me, about people who worked in my office, about my assistant at the time, Joanna Francesca. And you know, some of those people continue to lie into the microphone every chance they get. I'm not sure what their goal is at this point, but the level of stress and pressure in working in elections is high already. It is a incredibly demanding profession that is populated with incredibly dedicated professionals all over the country. But there comes a point when your body tells you you cannot do this anymore. My son got married in October of 23, and we had a beautiful wedding in my backyard. And then on election day, Joanna's father-in-law passed away.
Wow.
So he had been very ill for some time, so it was not shocking, but it is never welcome. It is never okay. It is never easy.
Bad timing.
To deal with. Too. And bad timing.
Always is bad timing, don't you think?
when you lose folks you love, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I say all that to inform about the situation that we were all facing. So Joanna left, I believe after we posted the first results on election night, she left and went home, and they her and her family left to go be with their family and take care of dad's stuff, you know, as you do. And so we didn't have Joanna there. We didn't have the assistant county clerk and registrar of voters is a really crucial position in that office, and it is a full-time job. Quite frankly, the person who's occupying that seat now is not at work enough. And that's a huge part of the problem that that office is facing right now. Why his boss is not demanding that he show up to work, I don't know. I don't understand what the strategy is there. But, you know, in my mind, it's a theft of tax dollars when you don't show up for work.
Yeah.
In any case, by the time Thanksgiving was over, I was in full-blown heart failure and did not realize it. I took myself to the ER on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which I had managed to somehow prepare and serve my family. Now I don't have any idea
how you did that.
Oh, I possibly could get that done. But, you know, if I could deal with Laura Hobbs screaming in my face and the faces of my staff after the election, you know, I could do anything. So we went to the ER and had a really lovely experience at Mercy, as usual, because they're wonderful there.
Yes.
And my personal doctor came and saw me on Monday morning, first thing in the hospital, which has never happened to me before.
Yes.
Which helped to
confirm.
Helped to confirm how serious this problem was. It was very serious. I was very sick. I found out over the last 2 years that I had a congenital heart defect. So, sorry, Kevin. Lifting weights probably wouldn't have helped my congenital defect, but it was a good thought, sort of. Not really.
That's Kevin Cry.
That's Kevin Cry, yeah.
Board of Supervisors.
I'm not the only female who appeared before him who he felt compelled to comment on their physical presentation, shall we say. Which, by the way, in case no one else has told you, Kevin, that's bad. Bad idea. It's rude.
Yes.
It's shallow. And it's not helpful.
Yeah.
So, and my children really appreciated your comments too, by the
way. Yeah, I bet they did.
So, I saw a really great cardiologist here in Reading who wanted to keep an eye on my progress, obviously. I ended up with a pacemaker. And I've also, over the last couple of years, found a better way to take care of myself. The stress and the pressure of that kind of work is just not something that I can do and maintain my health. But my numbers are much better and now seem to be pretty stable. So that's a really good thing. I've also got a heart failure specialist I see in Sacramento as well. So that's great to have multiple folks to tap when I have questions or concerns.
Yes.
I've been keeping busy though, even though I'm retired. As you said, I'm the chair of the board for the California Voter Foundation, which is a job I've held actually since 2019. I've been, it's not for any compensation. It's a volunteer position for a nonprofit that is small but mighty, we like to say, based in Sacramento.
And what's the role of that organization?
So CVF is a nonpartisan nonprofit in Sacramento. If you ever have spent any time browsing through campaign finance statements online to see who's giving money to which candidate, you can thank Kim Alexander, who is our president and founder of CVF. She, one of her very first initiatives that she pursued under the banner of CVF was Sunshine Laws, to make sure that to use the internet as a tool to help voters understand who's supporting their candidates, who's supporting measures that are on the ballot, the initiative process. And she has huge proponent for the paper trail, which means when you have, we had electronic voting machines, adding a paper printout so that voters could see on ink and paper what their selections were to create an additional tool to use in auditing elections. Right now, CVF is working with the legislature and other good government groups and partners to try and help shape a new set of standards that will increase the speed with which results are released. I know we've all heard, probably, if you pay attention to this kind of stuff, you may have heard folks talk about how slow ballot counting is in California, and there's a number of reasons for that, and we would like to help counties shape the policy that will increase the speed of those counts.
Yes, that makes sense. One of the things I wanted to clarify, too, when did you officially retire?
May of 24.
May of 24. Then who took the position after you left?
The board decided to do public interviews, and Tom Toler was selected. They passed over Joanna, even though at that time she had 16 years of experience in the department.
In the trench.
In the trenches, yes. Tom is a local attorney. I have never met him personally, but I've been really impressed by his willingness to disclose his change of heart after learning more about how elections are run, he was very much a skeptic when he was appointed as county clerk. He also resigned due to some health concerns that I'm not privy to, but I can't help but think the pressure and stress could not have helped those.
Yes.
Whatever they are.
And he ultimately had to step down.
He ultimately resigned after 8 or 9 months. Yeah.
And has he given any input on the current elections?
Yeah. So he has in a couple of different interviews, but also he recently, a video was posted to social media where he endorsed Joanna and
Joanna Franciscat,
who's running for county clerk and registrar of voters in the June 2nd election here in Shasta County. I really appreciated the things that he said in that video about understanding, once you get into the minutia of the processes and practices of conducting elections, it starts to become much more clear why some of these concerns are overblown and not founded in fact.
Yes. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. KKRN is a nonprofit organization. The programs you listen to that are locally produced are all by volunteers. We stay alive by your donation. If you would like to make a donation to KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, please go to kkrn.org. There's a button there that says donate. Or if you would like to mail a check, you mail it to KKRN Community Radio, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. No donation is too small. All the donations put together keep us going. We are here in conversation with the former Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, Kathy Darlene Allen. Today, she serves in a number of volunteer capacities, one of which is the board chair for the California Voter Foundation. There's been a lot of tumultuous things. Like you said, for how many years there were a number of election officials that stayed in place for decades.
Correct.
And then
about 60 years.
Yeah. About 60 years. And then you have how many in 3 years?
Three
in 3 years. That in itself makes you realize, wow, something's going on.
Well, we've lost stability.
Yes.
In that department, and that responsibility for that lays firmly at the feet of the Board of Supervisors, the majority. We have supervisors who unfortunately have fallen for a great con.
What do you mean by that?
There are folks who are spreading lies about election administration in order to serve their own purposes. Doug Frank is one of those people. Mike Lindell is one of those people. And, we all know about the connection of those folks to people here in Shasta County elections and the Board of Supervisors. And this is not factual information that's being spread and repeated.
As if it is facts.
It is being repeated as if it is fact, and it is not. We tried, I did a whole webinar, which was on the website of the election department for several years. I don't believe it's still up there, but we invited a statistics professor, Professor Justin Grimmer, who's at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He's a PhD in statistics. He has thoroughly debunked all of the Doug Frank nonsense, which is commonly referred to as the Mesa pattern of fraud, connected to Tina Peters in the state of Colorado. She was the county clerk in Mesa County, who's currently serving 9 years in prison. These are our leaders in their field. I mean, what are they? Why this is a narrative that people give credence to? I really, truly don't understand why somebody like Doug Frank is a preferable messenger than someone who has spent their life marinated in statistics and math and analysis of this kind of data. And I'm not going to beat that horse too much more, but it is really frustrating because I believe there are people here locally, especially who have been fully taken in. They really believe that these things are a problem and they honestly want to help and they want elections to be better, but they are seriously misguided and misdirected, and they're being taken advantage of to a large degree. And it's very unfortunate.
And troubling.
And it's troubling, and it's doing damage to the foundation of our republic.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. When you see all the tumultuous things that are going on, I guess what I come to, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, when you were in the elections office as the clerk and registrar of voters, you facilitated poll worker training.
Sure.
Volunteers from the community, right?
Sure, right. Yes, many.
And
hundreds.
So I know there's been a recent scurry about kicking some of the poll workers out and not being respectful for staff. Can you comment on that? How do you feel about that?
I'm tremendously sad.
Yeah,
me elections too. Elections don't happen without the community's participation, support, and help. And the fact that we have people who are still serving as poll workers is amazing and a testament to their dedication to our nation. And I mean, those are real patriots, folks who are serving as poll workers, even under these conditions. And the same thing goes for the staff in the election department. You can hang all the red, white, and blue bunting you want in that office, and it does not demonstrate your love of country any more than the decades of service of some of those people who have worked in the election department for many, many years. And the fact that they haven't turned tail and gone elsewhere. I think that honestly is the intent, is to drive them out. I firmly believe that.
Which is scary.
It is a coordinated attack that continues. I foolishly thought at some point that when I retired, I would take some of that energy with me. And they wouldn't have me to attack anymore. And that would solve some of the problems. But it's not. They continue to work behind the scenes, several folks, to destroy the stability of that department. And what I would love for folks to focus on and spend time thinking about is why.
Yeah, what's the purpose?
What is the purpose of destroying and disassembling a group of folks who know how to do their work, are competent and efficient and dedicated?
Patriots.
Patriots, absolutely. Why are we attacking them? What does that serve? Who does it serve? It certainly doesn't serve our friends and neighbors here in Shasta County. And I truly don't know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have contemplated it, looking for answers. During your tenure, I just want to clarify this. The system that was in place, you felt that it was secure. For instance, we used to have 24 drop boxes in Shasta County. Now we have 4.
Right.
And so we have 2 in Redding, 1 in Anderson, 1 in Shasta Lake. They've been pulled in from other places with the comment that that is tightening security. Did you ever question security when you were in the elections office? Do you think there was a mishandling of those ballots when they came in?
Absolutely not. One of the things that we were very lucky to enjoy was a team of folks who would come back election after election. They understood their responsibilities and they understood how important that responsibility was. They knew how to do all the steps they needed to take to fill out and ensure chain of custody was maintained. And apparently, the new administration didn't trust those folks, but they trust their folks.
That have no experience.
That have no experience, which, you know, we're not talking about, it's not that the job can't be replicated or other people can't be trained to do that work. Of course they can and they should be. However, making decisions like that should also be balanced with providing, for example, our neighbors in Bernie a way to deposit their vote-by-mail ballot. Let the voters make the choice they want to make about how those ballots are delivered back to the election department. If they want to use the post office, that's great. If they want to use a secure drop box, that is also great. I just am very unclear about some of the changes, the policy changes that have happened in the last year.
One of the comments that I have heard is that the people bringing in those ballot boxes in the past, you know, could stop off at their grandmother's house or go to lunch or dinner, and it wasn't secure. Did you ever have that dilemma?
Not that I'm aware of.
It wasn't rampant for sure.
Absolutely not. And they're also happening in teams of two. And those teams of two were not always the same. So you would have to convince whoever was your buddy that day to do something illegal with you, which seems entirely unlikely to me.
Yeah.
You would have to somehow steam open the envelope and then reseal it so that it wasn't evident it had been tampered with. And how many, I mean, I'm just trying to put my mind in the seat of someone who is suspicious of everyone. And I think it's really ironic that we've heard the current clerk more than once in speaking to reporters saying that you have to trust him. And he has said also that he takes a polygraph after every election. That's how we know we can trust him.
What? I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. That is the truth. Yeah. Do you want me to say that again?
I'm shocked that he says that. Wow. One of the things that I've heard someone make a comment, that a person could go to assisted living, retirement homes, gather all the ballots and mark them themselves, because those people aren't going to do it themselves. Put it in a backpack and then take it in and process it with their votes.
So that's incredibly ageist.
Yes.
Number one, to assume that everyone who's in a care home has lost their faculties and can't possibly cast a ballot. You could get yourself in some pretty hot water as elected officials, certainly, if you operated under that. Oh, well, why don't we just deregister everyone over the age of, I don't know, 70? They can't possibly want to vote, right?
But there are places, systems in place, so that cannot happen.
So, first of all, my point was, that many of those folks would know their ballot hadn't arrived.
Yes.
And be a little incensed. And they would call down to the election office and say, where's my ballot? This is my address. It never came. And when they were told, oh, well, we show your ballot's already been voted, they would say, not by me. So you better pull that one out of the stack because I didn't vote and I want my ballot. And you know what those lovely ballot delivery, ballot pickup teams would do? They would drive a ballot over to that care home for that voter.
Yay.
And drop it off. And in some cases, wait while they mark their ballot and then deliver it back to the office because that was part of the service that was provided. Now, of course, with only four boxes, they don't have the staff to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they have, if they're doing it or not. I've heard a lot of rumors, but I don't know, of course, everything that's happening or not happening in that office right now. I am very concerned that all of next year is going to be occupied with cleaning up the mess that has been created by the actions taken by our Board of Supervisors.
What do you think about hand counting? Because there's been all that put out about the need to hand count everything, make sure it's secure. Because to me, having people, 650 people counting ballots, seems like more room for error.
So one of the things that some people are unaware of is that we already hand count a portion of the vote to verify how the tabulation system is operating and that it is operating to confirm that it's operating correctly. So that when you make a physical mark on the piece of paper to vote for your candidate for governor, when the machine counts it, it is in fact counting it for the correct candidate, right? So already in law for decades, every county in California has counted by hand a certain portion of the ballots.
To verify.
To verify that the machines, the computers that we're using to count all the ballots are working correctly and as expected. Now, we do testing, or we did, I should say, do testing prior to Election Day and also after to confirm all of that. And then on top of all those tests that are done on the actual machines, we also would do a hand count as well, as required by law. The expectation that just for governor alone in this coming election on June 2nd, there are 61 candidates for governor.
Wow.
So I just want you to think about, say, 80,000. Say it's a really low turnout election, which I don't think it's going to be, considering the hot political situation that we all live in Shasta County right now. I think it's going to be a pretty good turnout. That could be 60 or 65 cards, ballots. 1,000 is what I meant to say, 65,000.
Yes.
Times 61 candidates. We are talking about quite an elaborate and labor-intensive proposition. What we are seeing right now, the quality of work that we're seeing in some areas of the election department, makes me very concerned about the idea of these same people trying to manage a project as complex as that. And regardless of who's managing it, it will be very expensive for the county in order to, for them to hit their deadlines. You cannot take 3 or 4 months to count ballots. That's not lawful.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Kathy Darlin Allen. She is the former Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, occupying that position for 19 plus years, just a little bit shy of 20 years. She's currently a volunteer serving as the board chair for the California Voter Foundation. So one of the things, Kathy, I wanted to ask you about, when you have all this conversations that go on about not trusting the voting system, that there's something fraudulent about what we've had in the past, and that we need to go to hand counting for the entire election.
Right.
Yes. What do you think the impact is? I mean, to me, it feels like you have these people that say these things that don't make sense to me.
So I think first we should talk about how important it is that government be accountable and transparent and available so that people can get their questions that are asked in good faith answered.
Yes.
The problem is what we have happening right now for some people, this is not good faith, I want to understand how the system works type questions. Everything is a gotcha. Many times I had people come into the election department and they literally just wanted to explain to me what they had learned on the internet the night before. And as my 8-year-old told me many years ago, Mom, not everything on the internet is true.
Yeah.
And we really need everybody, our whole community and our whole nation to start thinking in a very analytical and logical way. I said this so many times when I was in office. If you read something online and it makes you angry immediately, that is manipulation. And it may or may not be accurate, but you need to check yourself, take a breath, and then start looking at other information sources to see if that piece of information is accurate or not. Especially people in elected office have a responsibility to communicate the truth. And this, we are somehow living in this upside down world where lying isn't that big of a deal. And there are people who are holding elected office in our community right now who, it seems to me, lie every time they open their mouth. It's a problem. It's unacceptable. And it doesn't help anyone. They're not helping themselves. They are certainly not helping the voters understand how the process works. They are not promoting the process working better. It honestly am very mystified as to what their motivation might be, unless their motivation is to leave Shasta County and earn money capitalizing on this narrative that they are telling, which is untrue. Maybe that makes sense. I don't know, of course, if that's anybody's motivation or not. But it's very concerning to me that we have leaders in our community who, instead of spending time and energy talking about the problems where we really have the power to affect change in our local community, to help people who are unhoused, to help people who struggle with addiction of all stripes and varieties.
Yeah.
We have the tools available, but instead of pursuing those kinds of projects, some of the leaders in our community are obsessed with a problem that literally didn't exist until very recently in our community. And it is really unfortunate. And my family's been touched by both mental illness and substance abuse, my family of origin and my family as an adult. So, I mean, I understand the needs that families who have that, any of those things happen in their family. I know what needs to happen. And the system is failing those families. And that's where our time and attention really needs to be as government. And instead, we're seeing special meetings called to deal with more election-related drama. I'm so concerned that people are going to stop participating and stop voting because it's just all too much. We see all of this political drama happening at the federal level. I'm sure we're going to have a new governor at the beginning of the year. It's going to start all over again, right, with the new governor and what all that means for our state. And locally, we have very similar stuff happening, and it is so disheartening and disappointing.
I have a challenging question to ask you, and it's okay if you don't want to comment. But I've wondered through the past couple of years, when you have someone that has lots of experience in the elections office, you know, been in the trenches for a long time learning, who really has a passion for it, why would you remove them and not have them participate in the process? I mean, to me, it's like that was so troubling when they removed Joanna Franciscat because of her expertise and experience.
So one of the things we don't talk about a lot in politics in Shasta County is misogyny. We are a very conservative community, and there are people in our community who don't believe that women should work outside the home or be able to vote. And I don't think that that was missing from this equation. If Joanna was Joe, as in Joseph, would we be having any of these conversations? Or would they just have appointed him?
Do you think there's a possibility, too, if it's not misogyny, that they're threatened by the fact that this person knows how things operate? And
Entirely possible. Joanna is an incredibly competent and bright professional. You know, she is not me. She's not me. She's not going to run the office the way I did. She is going to take it far beyond what I was able to achieve. And I'm excited to see that and see what that looks like and what she's able to do for our community. One of the things that her athletic history has done is really given her skills in team building that I just think are excellent and will really serve her well. So after all of this negative wah-wah talk about how concerned I am about what's happening in our world, I think it's really, even saying all of that, it's so important to keep fighting the good fight and keep showing up for our community and our nation. And that means being poll workers, observing the election. If you are going to go vote at your polling place on election day, go an hour early, grab a chair, sit down, see what's happening. Talk to your poll workers, find out how they are doing, bring them a cookie, say thank you to them for serving. You know, there's a lot of things that folks can do if you are interested in one candidate or another. Reach out to those campaigns. Find out how you can help support a campaign that you're interested in supporting. Our democracy and our republic doesn't work without all of us participating in it.
Yeah.
And so it's just really important that folks, I know reading political news is stressful. And in some cases, as I said earlier, it's just too much. Stop reading the national news and start trying to show up for your neighbors.
Yes.
That I think is, we need to have community. I was in church this weekend and heard about the cave and the table and the road. And this is the road. This is where we need to meet each other and support each other and serve each other.
Because who we elect in our local offices determines what's going on in our community.
Absolutely.
It's not the national. I mean, it has influence the national, but critical is our local elections. So getting to know the candidates, showing up, voting, having the voice. Can you imagine being in a world where we didn't do that?
Or we weren't allowed to.
Or we weren't allowed to. That would be troubling, wouldn't it?
Incredibly so.
I want to thank you, Kathy Darling Allen. I want to thank you for all your years of service as Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters. An outstanding job. It was a loss to our community when you left. And I respect people who are dedicated, who look for and work with the law, who are proud to be a patriot that upholds the system and can talk with the system and be able to work with the system so it protects the voting rights of all, giving all the access to everyone. You are now working as the board chair, volunteer, California Voters Foundation. And keep up your good work.
Thanks so much for having me and your kind words, Lynn.
Yes, and we encourage, both of us encourage people, please vote.
Please vote, absolutely.
I want to remind Kathy, myself, and our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us. There's a very special event happening on Thursday, May 14th at 8 p.m. at the Sundial Bridge, a special presentation called the Peace Lantern Processional. Members of our community, faith leaders, cultural representatives, and community leaders each carry a peace lantern that has peace prayers and sayings from peace representatives like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The processional will go across the bridge, stop on the bridge, where a Native American blessing will be shared. Then the group processes into the community stage as part of the Glowing Wild Lantern Festival. After about 10 or 15 minutes of sharing of different reflections on peace and nonviolence, the group processes back across the bridge, ending at the south end of the bridge. Please join us. If you would like more information, 530-243-8862. Best to text. Thank you. Hope to see you there.